This is the Full Press NBA Podcast.
Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo. Good! The Bulls win!
Magic down the middle, just what I thought. A hook shot at 12. Good!
Bird up fake. Bird takes the shot. It's on! It's on! Oh, my goodness!
Presented by Sportscaster.com and distributed by Snowman Digital Media.
Here's Carnes. Let's one go from center court.
He got it! He got it!
It's coming back, folks. And if you didn't believe me before, I hope you do now. The NBA is set to return on July 31st. Keep that date marked. And it's going to be, to say the least, very different. To help me break all this craziness down is the one and only Chris Pirtle from the Sports Junkies. He joins me right now. What's up, Pirtle? Been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while, Brian. Good to be on with you today. Happy Saturday from Daytona Beach, Florida, and good to be on with you today.
Let's talk some hoops. The NBA is on the way back. 22 teams will descend upon Orlando. And yes, LeBron James is in the conversation as the league starts back for an MVP, which I don't think he deserves, and a world championship, which I don't think he deserves either. Why don't we just start there? 22 teams coming to Orlando.
Yeah, Brian, you know, the Los Angeles Lakers, obviously one of the favorites to get into the NBA Finals and win the championship. One of a few teams that you can say is actual championship material. I think that could only be said for maybe four or five teams in the entire league, let alone the playoffs. So one of the things about the Lakers, though, I do think they have one of the biggest, if not the biggest, uphill battle in overcoming what is going to be, Brian, a 4.5 month layoff.
Yeah.
You talk about March 10th to July 31st, basically about as long as an off season. In a lot of ways.
It really
so
is.
It's almost like, yeah, it really is. And we're talking about guys, LeBron James in his 17th season, obviously 35 years old, Dwight Howard in his 16th season, who is, let's be crystal clear, Dwight Howard has been one of the reasons that you can call the Los Angeles Lakers a championship caliber team.
Mm-hmm.
The contributions that they've gotten from him, they didn't expect they were going to get. And you have to wonder, after 4.5 months, essentially after another off season, let's call it what it's been, can Dwight Howard show up once again? So these are going to be questions that will be answered throughout the course of these playoffs. But I will say the Lakers have the biggest uphill climb out of any team in recovering from what has been essentially an off season.
And here's what a lot of people don't realize, and you and I talked about this before the NBA season came to a halt. Not only do the Lakers have the biggest uphill climb, they've got the shortest team. And I mean that in terms of their bench. I mean that in terms of shooters. And what has been the one problem we've outlined about the Lakers? Lack of a point guard.
Yeah, well, anytime a team has less depth than others, that's obviously going to be an impact when you have to come back off of missing 3.5 months. So to get guys ready, it's going to be interesting to see how they deal with that. That's another good point, Brian. Not only do they have to get these older guys back in shape and acclimated to the day-to-day grind of the NBA, but to not have as much depth is going to present even more issues when you have to come back from such a layoff.
Absolutely. And the teams that are deeper, let's look west and east. Let's look west and east, like I said. The Clippers, Memphis in the east, Milwaukee, Toronto. And remember, they met in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. So the depth is going to play a huge part in this. And not having the right players around LeBron, as we've seen over the course of 17 years, has presented a lot of problems. Lots of problems.
Yeah, and let's be clear, the Lakers, they started off the season with a 21-4 record. Things were looking good, but even once we got to Christmas, Brian, even though their record was as good as it was, they were still sub 500 against teams that were above 500 against playoff teams.
Right.
So it wasn't until the very end of the season did we see the Lakers start to be able to overcome those obstacles and actually beat good teams like the Clippers and the Bucks, which is what they did at the very end of what turned out to be the regular season. But it took them a while to get there. There's not going to be a while to get there with the circumstances that present themselves coming up in late July.
Right. And they don't have any time to fix the problem. And they've got a lot of potential problems, not just for this particular playoff run, if you want to call it that, but going forward next season. Because you won't see the Bulls in the playoffs this year. You won't see the Warriors in the playoffs. They won't be coming to Orlando. But when a full season resumes, you can bet that the Bulls and the Warriors are going to be busy putting pieces in place now to compete for the top spots in their respective conferences next year.
Yeah, the Lakers are also going to run into some off-season issues these next couple off-seasons. Anthony Davis will be a free agent whenever this season ends, whenever that may be. And then LeBron James will be a free agent at the end of next season.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a strange timing. There's a lot going on for the Lakers, and we're going to have to see how they can respond.
I put a theory out there when it comes to Anthony Davis. And people think I'm crazy when I say this, but I'm going to go ahead and put it out there in front of you, and I want your thoughts on it. After this season concludes in October, Anthony Davis goes home. And I think the All-Star Game provided a real connection for that. I really believe Anthony Davis is going home.
You know, Ryan, I would subscribe to that theory if there were a couple of other really good upcoming superstars waiting on him in Chicago. But to think that Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen are those two guys that are going to... you have to have somebody there in place for Davis to think, I want to go home, but I also want to win some damn championships.
Right.
And I need to know, and I don't think that Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen necessarily fit that criteria for teammates that are going to help you get to the promised land. So, unfortunately for the Bulls, I don't think they have a championship team in place where all you have to do is add Anthony Davis. If they did, I may be able to get more interested in a theory like that.
I still think he's going to go home, and I still think he's going to work with those young stars to help make them a championship team. Here's something else. Because of the way the 22-team bracket, and I want to have you on a little bit later on this week to discuss the specifics of it, the 22-team bracket allows the Spurs to get into the playoffs. It allows the Phoenix Suns to get in the playoffs. The New Orleans Pelicans with Zion Williamson. And if you can believe it, it allows the Sacramento Kings to grace the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, Sacramento Kings, the team in the Western Conference, Brian, with the longest playoff appearance drought in the entire league, actually. They have a longer playoff appearance drought than the Knicks.
Yeah.
They haven't been there since the 2004 season. So think about that. It's been 16 years since the Kings have been to the playoffs. So that'll be a first, obviously, in a while. And you know, Brian, they had to come up with something, anything that was going to get Zion into the playoffs. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. So Zion will spend his rookie season in the postseason. Who would be your team to come out of the West?
Well, I've been a believer since the day after the Toronto Raptors won the championship last year in the Los Angeles Clippers, as strangely as that sounds, because I knew Kawhi Leonard would end up in a Clipper uniform.
Yep.
I didn't know Paul George was going to get there,
right,
but I did know they had money for another spot, and I didn't know who that other player was going to be, but obviously it is Paul George, and I think it's going to be the Los Angeles Clippers. You talk about a team that I think can rebound from this 3.5 months off better than any team. It's the LA Clippers. Kawhi Leonard is 28 years old. He's in phenomenal condition. I got a feeling Kawhi Leonard, you can give him a whole year off of not playing basketball, and he's still going to stay in great shape. I mean, look at the guy. Mm-hmm. He's a machine.
He is.
The same could be said for Paul George from a physical standpoint. Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell may have to work himself into shape, but the core of the Los Angeles Clipper team, to me, is going to be in great shape. They got some much-needed rest. They're going to pick up where they left off. They're a younger team with younger superstars in the primes of their careers. Late 20s for Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. I like their chances better than anybody else in the West.
Western Conference teams that are in: the Lakers, the Clippers, Denver Nuggets, Utah Jazz, OKC. We'll get to them in a moment. Houston, Dallas, Luka gets a playoff appearance. Memphis, Portland, the Pelicans, the Kings, the Spurs, and the Suns. Let's go back up four spots and look at the Portland Trail Blazers, when all the ballyhoo was that the Blazers would miss the playoffs. And yes, it took a situation like this to happen, but now the Portland Trail Blazers are in the playoff picture. They are invited to Orlando, so Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum will have a chance to make some noise. The question is, will they?
You never know, Brian. This is a team, you know, there's 15 teams in the Western Conference. Last year, they were one of the final two standing.
Yes.
They finished number three in the regular season in two out of the last 3 years. So they have proven that they can play with the Western Conference big boys, whether it's in the regular season or whether it's in the postseason. They're going to get back some key personnel. When you look at Nurkic coming back, Zach Collins coming back, two big pieces on the interior that they didn't have for most of this past season.
Right.
One of the reasons they had such a rough record and were on the outside looking in. They have to be taken seriously.
They absolutely have to be taken seriously. Speaking of teams being taken seriously, all 22 teams you have to take seriously, but I want to look at a team that's going to make an appearance in the postseason that want to see how far they go, and that's the Phoenix Suns. They were sitting in the 13th spot, way out of the playoff picture, but now here they are with a chance to make some noise. Just have to see how the brackets come out. The seedings are going to be played for as well, but look at Phoenix. They're in. San Antonio keeps their streak alive. They're in. You and I both said Memphis would get a playoff spot. They're in. Dallas is in. We just spoke of the Portland Trail Blazers. Let's go to the Valley of the Sun. Talk to me about the Phoenix Suns and the opportunity that lies before them.
Well, you know, they've got two really good young players, and Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton. We talked about it a moment ago that the younger players, in my opinion, will be able to rebound from this layoff much easier, much better than the players that are into their 30s. So that's a positive, I think, for the Phoenix Suns. But at the end of the day, it's a team, Brian, that showed throughout the regular season that they're still too young. They're not ready to take that next step. Certain teams are a little bit in the same type of category, and I think Phoenix just is not quite ready to take that step. New Orleans is young. However, they do have some guys that are becoming not necessarily veterans, but guys in their third and fourth year, Brandon Ingram, some veteran leadership, and a guy like Jrue Holiday, and obviously Zion is Zion. A team like that would scare me if I'm the L.A. Lakers in the first round. They already kind of scared me with the Lakers before this layoff. Now that those older guys have had to sit around for 3.5 months and have Taco Tuesday party at LeBron James' multi-million dollar estate while he's being served by these servants and waiters,
right,
and sitting around getting fat and lazy, they may be in a little trouble if they have to play some young guys like New Orleans or even Portland, mm-hmm, who we just discussed a moment ago, who has reacquired some key personnel they were missing on the front line. And also Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum still in the primes of their career. A little bit of rest isn't going to hurt those guys. That could be a dangerous first-round matchup for the Lakers. Either one, the Blazers or the Pelicans, let's keep an eye out for that.
We'll keep an eye out for that indeed. Now to the East, the 9 teams invited: Milwaukee, Toronto, Boston, Miami, Indiana, Philadelphia, Brooklyn, Orlando, and the Washington Wizards. And remember, the Wizards are minus John Wall, who is going to be out for a long, long time with that injury, at least another year. I want to zoom in on Brooklyn to start our Eastern Conference chat. Kevin Durant has said he will not play the remainder of the season. He's coming back from what was originally thought to be a strained calf, and of course it turned out to be a torn ACL. You and I made that clear on this program during the run that the when he was with Golden State at the time, the Warriors going to the NBA World Championship Series. I'm zooming in on Brooklyn for this reason. They're minus Kyrie with an injury. They're minus KD with an injury. And quite frankly, Kevin Durant won't be back due to his injury, and I don't think he'll play next year either, especially with the schedules being thrown off. But Kyrie Irving was supposed to take Brooklyn to the next level. You and I have both said on this program that ain't happening.
No way. No way. Kyrie Irving's not taking anybody to the next level. He's proven that, if anything, over the past two or three years. The Brooklyn Nets are looking, obviously, at a first-round loss. The only question in my mind is if they run up on a team like Boston, it could probably be a first-round sweep.
Mm-hmm.
So Brooklyn has nothing going on. They don't have much talent. The guys that they acquired in the offseason, Durant is a great player, one of the all-time great players when we look back on history, but he's injured. So
yes,
he does you no good. And then the other guy that you acquired is a crotchy, grumpy jerk who showed that he has no ability to make his teammates better,
none.
No ability to make his teammates like him, no ability to succeed in the playoffs. He's not going to get you anywhere. Plus, he's injured. Other than that, you have a couple of young players that are somewhat good, but that's not going to get you that far in the playoffs. They're actually lucky to be there.
Yeah. They are like, and another team that's lucky to be there, even though they have a record above 500, is the Philadelphia 76ers. We're going to see how, in another postseason setup, postseason setting, if Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid can coexist. And my answer to that is no.
Yeah, so far they've proven that answer to be correct, Brian. And one thing the Philadelphia 76ers give us a little bit, and that's why I love them for it, is they do entertain us.
Yes, they do.
We will say that for them. They do entertain us. But entertaining us and being able to get your team to the NBA Finals and advance into the playoffs are two different things. The 76ers have not shown the ability to do that. Now, they can hang their hats on the fact that they got to the second round last year. There was a last-second shot needed in a Game 7 to beat them. If that wants to make themselves, if they want to feel better about that, they can do so. But what's going to make them feel better is making some noise and advancing in the playoffs. We'll see if they can do that. You're not a believer, and neither am I.
And it's probably going to cost Brett Brown his job, because he was the coach that was ballyhooed around the league for a couple of years saying, I can make them, not just saying that, but you know, having the task of making them coexist, making them play team basketball, and except for a Christmas Day performance, when I had you on the program right after, when they blew out Milwaukee, except for a Christmas Day performance, I have not seen that consistency from Philadelphia.
Well, I would agree with that, Brian. And Brent Brown, if they don't advance in the playoffs this year and get to where they think they should go, whether it's the conference finals or the NBA finals, Brent Brown will have definitely be given a sufficient amount of time to get the job done. And if he hasn't and he gets fired, then he has nobody to blame but himself. But if you're the Philadelphia management and you look at the team you have on paper, do you realistically expect to get to the conference finals or the NBA finals?
Oh, no.
With just Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid?
No.
I mean, you have to look at what you've got. And in some ways, Brent Brown gets a lot out of that team. I don't know if I want to let him go, but at the same time, he's had sufficient enough time to get that team at least deeper into the playoffs.
Here's a team to watch in the East. And you pointed this out to me, and you know something? I'm inclined to believe in how right you are about the Indiana Pacers.
Yeah, a lot of depth on that team, which it doesn't get talked about a lot. I think a lot of that might have to do with the fact that Oladipo was out for the majority of what turned out to be the regular season.
Right.
Malcolm Brogdon starting to develop his game nicely. You've got Miles Turner, and then another all-star that the Orlando Magic basically gave away during the 2016 offseason, Domantas Sabonis. And this is a young core, Brian. You think about this. Oladipo, we talk about guys in the prime of their career. Well, Oladipo is in his seventh year.
Yep.
You've got Brogdon in about his third or fourth year. Sabonis in about his fourth year, Miles Turner in that same category. Again, it's a young team with a young core that should be able to overcome a 3.5 month layoff. I like the Pacers. You're right, Brian. These guys could definitely make some noise.
And speaking of making some noise, one team that began to make a lot of noise right around Christmas. Why is no one talking about the defending world champion Toronto Raptors?
They don't want to believe it, Brian. They see the players on paper, and they don't want to believe it. And at some point, you have to become a believer. I think a lot of us going into the season, and I was one of them, predicted the Raptors would be around the 7th or 8th seed for the playoffs. Instead, they went all the way up to number 2. Nick Nurse is a heck of a coach. He's proven that he can get the job done, obviously, the defending champions. It's time to take them seriously, but now's their time to prove it. It's playoff time, so if they want to be taken seriously, all they have to do is advance.
If they advance, they will be taken seriously, and they will be given a lot better odds in year 3 of the Nick Nurse reign. That's our playoff chat for this version of the program. That man is Chris Pirtle. Love having him on, and I can't wait to get you on more frequently as the playoffs begin to come together.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, Brian. Finally, we're going to get some basketball back, and that is going to be a great thing.
It really, really is. Thanks a lot, partner. Appreciate the time.
You got it, Brian. Have a good one.
Got some more stuff for you, folks. Stick around. Back in a flash.
The proceeding has been a presentation of Snowman Digital Media. Copyright 2020, all rights reserved.
They do have a timeout. Decide not to use it. Curry, way downtown. Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry!
1 second remaining in the regular season, possibly. Out to Kobe.
What a way to finish! Are you kidding me?
Curry comes to the ball. Goes to the corner. Catches. Works up. Pondexter. Fade away. Three. Short. Rebound. Space. Curry in the corner. Shoots. On the way. Got it! He hit it!
They get it to Fisher.
He scores! Oh, Derek Fisher scores at the buzzer.
And it goes to Bird. Bird up fake. Bird takes the shot. It's gone!
All right. It's win or lose. Game 6 for the Bulls. 10 seconds. And with it, of course, the championship. Jordan, 20-footer, head of the key, good! Chicago by 1, and the Utah Jazz take time. Michael Jordan from the top of the key to put the Bulls up 87-86.
For more information, log on to snowmandigitalmedia.com.